BYUSN, after beating Cincinnati by 28 points 13 days ago in Provo, is tomorrow's game against the Bearcats a must-win for BYU? It's Super Bowl weekend with Andy Reid and the Chiefs going for an NFL three-peat, which would be a first. Is there any reason for BYU fans not to cheer for the Chiefs?
Former BYU tight end and Super Bowl champ Dennis Pitta joins us to talk about winning the big game. We'll get his take on the Chiefs, Eagles, and Andy Reid. Plus, Megan Hunter, Riley Chamberlain, and Lexi Holiday-Lowry of BYU Track and Field give the rundown on how they're each able to break a BYU record last weekend. It's a big show.
The rundown. I see what you did there, Anchor Boy. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, February 7th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is video Easter egg hunter Dave McCann.
Sometimes there are pictures that when you look at, there are things in it that dodge the human eye. And then when you take a deeper look, you see some things. You're like, well, that's pretty cool.
But not magic eye, like in the 90s. I love those.
Now, President Jeffrey R. Holland, former president of BYU, current acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, posted a video, this video, earlier in the week. And Tyler Puffer spotted something at the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, that looks familiar. And he circled it, and then he posted it. And it's President Holland's 1984 National Championship ring.
Very nice.
Right on his desk at church headquarters. Now, I've been in that office before, and the moment you walk in, you notice three things. He loves his wife, Pat, he loves the Savior, and he loves BYU. And all three are all over the office. And I made the mistake of calling him President Holland in our interview because it's Elder Holland, but I knew him as President Holland. And I started to correct myself, and he goes, stop right there. President Holland is the greatest title I've ever held. And now that he's acting Quorum of the President, he's President Holland again.
Yep.
And he also said, you know what? I never miss a BYU game. Even when I'm on the road, I get to get up at 3 a.m. to listen on the radio or on the computer.
Hey.
He's there. That's a true blue guy right there.
That really is.
All right. Taylor, thanks for reposting that.
That's a great title, President Holland. And the 1984 national title was the best title BYU's ever won in any sport, I think.
Yeah.
So it's been...
It's undefeated.
Yes, literally undefeated, which is awesome. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Cincinnati on the road is a game you have to go win now because Cincinnati's struggling so much. They need to not have a bad loss as much as they need that big win.
Big game tomorrow afternoon, BYU against Cincinnati, who BYU, as mentioned, beat by 28 almost 2 weeks ago in Provo, Dave. That was a blowout and a surprise blowout because of how good Cincinnati's defense was at the time, top 10. Cincinnati 3-8 in the Big 12. So BYU needs to win this game, right?
Yeah, you heard Sean Farnham's voice in there from ESPN, who was on the show earlier in the week, talking about avoiding bad losses,
yes,
as opposed to this giant quest to go out and get big wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where BYU is at this spot in the season, according to him. And so he targeted Cincinnati as a win they've got to go get. Without calling Cincinnati a bad loss, he called Cincinnati a bad loss, right? He
said, would it be a bad loss at there. 51 in net quad one?
I don't think so. They were in the top 25 to start the season.
Yep.
Their big guy can be a big trouble for BYU.
Aziz
he
Bandego.
Wasn't when he was here, Bendigo.
Yeah.
If they get going, they got going the other night when they're on the road at UCF, they could certainly win this game. But BYU could also go in and get this one. It's not Houston, right? It's a chance to go in and play your game. But what they've got to do is they've got to do what they did in the first game and not do what they did this past Tuesday against Arizona in three areas: rebounding, hitting threes, and then the stars got to shine. Rebounding, they're plus six against the Bearcats, who are big, tall, and lean, lanky.
Yep.
Minus 15 against Arizona. They hit 15 of 24 threes against Cincinnati, 10 of 34 against Arizona, and then big games for Richie Saunders and Yegor Demon, 21 and 16 against the Bearcats, 11 and 3 against the Wildcats. So there's the difference. And then you go on the road where it's always a curveball or two. But do those three things, and you can win one on the road.
51 in net is not a bad loss on the road. What we sort of interpreted, Sean, as opposed to bad losses, is unexpected, perhaps. This is a expected BYU win. Although, if you look at KenPom, he says it's a one-point loss for the Cougars, 49% chance to win. He's saying this is going to be close. Do you throw out the 28-point win at home because it was so excessive? It was so awesome. BYU won by 28 against a top 10 defense at the time. They are 21st in defense, which is still amazing.
Yeah.
But BYU's offense is 16th in efficiency. So that's a fun matchup. The 52 points in the second half on 74% shooting and 11 of 15 from three. That's wild. That is
threes
exceptional.
Threes were going down from everywhere.
Right? They were shooting with the other hand. It was crazy. I don't expect BYU to go hog wild in the second half like they did again. Can they have another great second half? Sure. Cincinnati shot 38%, 5 of 28 from three. I don't expect Cincinnati to be as bad and BYU to be as good. Somewhere in the middle. Does this mean a BYU win? Yes, BYU should go and win this game. But like you mentioned, they just won by 10 at UCF.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to play, as BYU found out. BYU, and by the way, the Bearcats snapped a four-game losing streak. They're feeling a little bit better. Cougars need to shoot the ball better than they did Tuesday, as you mentioned. Don't need to make 11 threes in the second half. But this is a tough game, man. Imagine if Cincinnati goes to the free throw line a normal amount against BYU. They only shot four in Provo. There were all these numbers that were just excessively low for Cincinnati, excessively high for BYU. I expect a better game. Ken Pomp's telling us this is going to be a one-point game. Will Yegor Demon and Dallin Hall be as aggressive as they were Tuesday? Or was that a product of nobody else really doing much offensively? This is an interesting game for BYU. And then, oh, by the way, Tuesday at West Virginia, which is, again, a tough game, even though on paper the Mountaineers have struggled the last couple of games. I'm interested to see how BYU performs. Because if BYU is going to be a team that avoids that first day on Tuesday in the Big 12 tournament, a.k.a. they're in the top eight, you got to win a game like this.
Yeah, and one thing we know we'll see is Cincinnati's going to defend Richie Saunders different, right? When you play a team for the second time, like BYU's approach to Arizona a couple weeks should be different than it was the other night.
Yep.
So teams go, hey, you know what? We got to get out on the three. They killed us on the three. So you expect Cincinnati, they're really well coached. They're going to defend BYU differently. Now, BYU did a really good job defending the Bearcats and taking their big men out. They got to figure out how to do that again. Because when Bendigo and those guys get going, loosens everybody up. So I'm curious to see what they do with Saunders and Demon, because what they did the first time didn't work, so it'll be different. And then BYU, the last time they were out on the road, they won. So that should be different for them going into another road game as opposed to this wall being down. But any night in the Big 12, we've seen that the home team can beat anybody. And so, you know, it's no cakewalk. It's no 28-pointer. BYU was favored by one against Arizona, remember?
They got up to 3.5, Dave.
And then all of a sudden you saw the separation toward the end of the game. So if Cincinnati's favored by one going into this one, I don't even know what that means. It just means that BYU's got to bring their rebounding. They've got to bring their shooters and some determination in here. Or they'll get sent out with a loss. And then most of the league will go, yeah, okay, well, that was at Cincinnati. You know, next, what's next? But this is a big chance for them to get something that they just gave up. You give one up at home, you really just got to go get one on the road.
And Arizona wasn't one that BYU was supposed to get, in my opinion, per se, although I would love a Kansas, an Arizona, Iowa State win in there somewhere. But Sean's right. Like, I'd still think it'd be nice to punctuate, obviously it'd be nice, to punctuate the resume with a signature win. But you're right. If BYU beats Cincinnati and West Virginia on the road and Arizona State on the road, and Utah at home. There's four more wins for a BYU team that's trying to get 10 or 11. And then if you get any other others, that's kind of extra. Will there be a big upset either way where BYU gets upset or they upset someone else? Now, that fluctuates everything. But if you win the games you're, quote, unquote, expected to. But they aren't necessarily expected to, according to Ken Pom, which is interesting. Can this team use that motivation like football did to go to UCF? They were an underdog. They were like, whoa, 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 what? Yeah. Ken Pom doesn't think we can win this game. We're going to win this game.
The natural eye looks at the standings, and they go, okay, team up here, team down here.
They're for this.
Win. Yeah. So on the road, this is one BYU has to get because they're down there. I think that's how we all look at the standings. But then when they tip the ball off, it's any man's game.
And frankly, if BYU split on this road trip, that's probably just fine. That's probably good to some degree. If they got both, I think they're ahead of schedule a little bit. BYU's on the left side of the graphic, as we talk about. That's important. So let's see if BYU can't go get a win for its first game there since 1931, as you said yesterday.
Back when we were kids.
What? Hey, speak for yourself.
Listen, it's going to be interesting because really what has to happen for this team is to be playing their best basketball in a month.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're playing your best basketball, and let's say you start on the first day. It doesn't matter. You just keep winning. In this Big 12 tournament, but they're not playing their best basketball. There's some glimpses of it. So we're still kind of waiting for that evolution of we're now at our best spot. A good place to start would be Cincinnati. Kind of thought they had after winning four, but yes. Arizona reminded them that, hey, Arizona's just got a little more together. So you got to close a gap if you want to catch them. And so, yeah, it'll be intriguing. Every game's intriguing in this league.
If BYU had won Tuesday, man, we'd be saying some flowery things right now about where BYU's headed. They're still headed in a good spot. Yeah. 1-4-5, which is great.
Super Bowl is coming up Sunday. You were aware of that?
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, Chiefs and Eagles again. Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going for the NFL's first three-peat. Is there any reason for a BYU fan not to cheer for Andy Reid and the Chiefs in this game on Sunday?
There's plenty of reasons, right? We all love Andy, but you don't have to love the Chiefs. You can like, it's like, I love Fred Warner. I can't stand the Niners as a Seahawks guy.
Right.
The Chiefs have been so good. Like, if they don't win this one, it doesn't taint the legacy in any way, shape, or form of Andy. He's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. At some point, he built off of what he learned from Lavelle and took it to the pros, which has been an incredible story and situation. A guy who converted to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's awesome. Another convert to the church is on the other side, by the way, in Eagles OC, Kellen Moore.
Right.
Brother Moore, as I like to call him.
Who I think is going to be head coach Moore here shortly.
For the Saints, like. Ironically enough.
Yeah.
And Brother Taysom Hill as well.
In New Orleans, where right? he is.
So there are plenty of reasons. I do want to ask Chad Lewis how he's feeling, because Andy's his guy, but he played for the Eagles. So that's kind of fun. We'll talk to Dennis Pitta coming up, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get Dennis
about
Pitta.
The Super Bowl.
Chad's torn because he's an Eagle, but he's in. Loves he's
Andy.
In with his guy.
And Matt Bushman, his son-in-law, played for Andy.
Yeah, so I'm cheering for the Chiefs because I want Jason Shepherd to remain normal in his daily
Too late.
Behavior.
It's been years.
But for Andy Reid, I don't have any other ties to the Chiefs. I just think that for a BYU guy to be the first in NFL history to win three straight Super Bowls.
That'd be pretty cool.
And not only that, he wears his Y on his sleeve. Talks about it all the time. He says
talking about the Book of Mormon.
As big a proponent of BYU as there is out there, and so visible as a head coach of the Chiefs. So that's why I want it. Plus, all my nephews think the refs are pulling for the Chiefs, and so they hate it when we cheer for the Chiefs. But what a moment for him. He's already said he's coming back next year.
Right.
So this isn't a swan song.
Why wouldn't you stay
he's
with
got
Patrick?
301 wins, so he has a chance to be the top. When he's done, if he goes a few more years.
Yep.
He's already got more playoff wins than anybody. And I tell you what, if you close your eyes and you listen to him, you swear you're listening to Lavelle Edwards. He's just taken Lavelle's style
yep.
that worked here, taken it to the next level at the NFL. And there's a reason why everyone loves Lavelle. There's a reason why no one ever says anything bad about Andy Reid.
Yep.
Just a character guy who, by the way, figures out how to beat other teams. And, you know, there's going to be a few play calls Sunday where you're like, hey, we've seen that before.
That was awesome.
And who would have thought of that? That guy. He thinks of that.
It was fun when BYU used the Chiefs play.
Yeah.
Kind of underhand shovel to Mason Wake for a touchdown or two, which was fun. Just sample, right? And he asks his own players, like, are there plays that you think we might want to do? They did the ring around the rosy thing, run up to the – it's just fun. So we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl.
Look, we've never had a ward mission leader, award missionary as a Super Bowl champion, I don't believe. This is a chance for him to get a third straight.
I wonder on that one.
They're going to get him in more doors over there. I got three now. Come on in, coach. Tell me what you got.
Andy Reid's here.
Great
Our
guy.
Question of the day is this. Are you rooting for Andy Reid and the Chiefs or the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Are you rooting for the Chiefs then? Is that your answer?
Yeah, I'm going for the Chiefs.
I love Andy. I'm actually rooting for the Eagles. Sorry. At Jerem Matsuda.
What tie do you have to the Eagles?
Just something different.
Something different?
Something
okay,
different.
All right. Yeah, everyone has that
I've
right.
I've seen it.
That's your tie,
love
something
Andy.
Different?
Yeah, just okay. as a sports fan.
All right.
I don't need a personal tie, per se.
You don't need anything.
Tie or a bow tie, I guess. Andy and his current team over his old team, go Coach Reid.
How about that? He's the winningest coach
at both. That's cool. That's a random fun fact.
Even for Eagles fans, you're like, it's like Utah fans, kind of. They love Kalani. So they don't cheer against Kalani, but they hate the team.
Yes.
And that gives them a tough spot.
I'm not sure the BYU fans feel the same way on the reverse.
I don't think so.
With Kyle.
No, I don't think so.
At Granddad Matt on X, ask Chad Lewis 89, I'd be curious. That's my question too, yeah. How is he feeling about this, given his connection to Andy with the Eagles, but now Andy with the Chiefs? Hey, either way, he wins.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, you can't.
We should have some fun responses on that one because there are a lot of people that are just tired of the Chiefs.
Yes.
But then there are others who are like, that's Andy Reid. But we've never been in this spot before. That's our guy. So can we cheer against our guy? just for something new? Yeah, you can.
I think if there were fewer, like, that was weird, officiating or spots, I'd be more inclined to be with the Chiefs, but I am bothered by that.
Hey, you and my nephews, you guys can sit over there, like, on the couch.
You don't need extra stuff. You guys are good enough.
All right. We'll look for your responses through the show. Men's volleyball, 15th-ranked UCSB tonight and tomorrow. BYU number 6 in the country. After dropping a pair to Hawaii, who's really good, how important are these?
Massive, because BYU's lost 4 games in a row, albeit to very good teams. Number 2, UC Irvine. Number 2, Hawaii. BYU should have won in 5 sets on the first night of both of those series. They were up 5-1 in the fifth. Tough for BYU not to close those. But I love this series. They played every year since BYU became an NCAA team in 90, except for 21, when everybody just played COVID league games, right? So I respect what the Gauchos do. Should be fun. Gauchos pass the ball really well. They lead the country in kills per set. BYU's motivated and fired up to get some wins. They don't like losing 4 in a row. It's rare.
Fans don't like it either. It'll be packed tonight. You'll be on the call. It should be a great time at the Fieldhouse.
Can't wait,
UCSB.
Man.
Men's basketball hitting the road. Another Big 12 road win is what they're looking for against Cincinnati. Pre-game 5 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game tips off at 6 Eastern all this Saturday on ESPN2 and BYU Radio.
Next, we'll chat with former BYU tight end and 2013 Super Bowl champion Dennis Pitta about winning the big game and get his take on the Chiefs and Eagles. Before we go to break, we want to send our condolences to the Schoaf family. Former BYU men's basketball player Jake Schoaf passed away yesterday at the age of 46 in a car accident. Schoaf leaves behind his wife, Emily, and 4 sons, Zachary, Brady, Grant, and Maximus. Jake played for Steve Cleveland between 2001 and 2004 and wore that iconic headband. He was a big man with a giant heart and loved by many.
Oh, nice play fake. To the end zone, touchdown! Pitta into the end zone, touchdown, BYU!
And it was a big touchdown. You know, it gave us a little bit of separation from the 49ers at that point in the game. Figures like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Haloti Ngata. It was fun to be a part of that team.
Oh, we made time for Dennis today. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann with your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. And it's time now to bring in the Super Bowl champion, a man who caught a touchdown pass in New Orleans. They turned the lights back on for him. He is Dennis Pitta, now joining the program. Dennis, what's up, man? Super Bowl champion, reliving the memories of New Orleans on Super Bowl week. You were down there this week. How was it?
It was awesome. And it's the first time I've been back in New Orleans since 12 years ago when we won the Super Bowl there. And so, you know, it's a special city that's near and dear to my heart. And so walking around French Quarter and eating beignets and being back where we were seemingly, you know, over a decade ago, it was a lot of fun. Brought back a lot of great memories.
Beignets are awesome. The powdered sugar gets everywhere.
Oh, so good.
That's okay.
I prefer an
Café du Monde. Nice. That's the original beignet.
Okay. We've all been there, I think. Those are great. Hey, so you're back. As a non-player, having been back under the microscope of getting ready for the game, how different of a feel was it for you to be there as a tourist, although you were there with your company, as opposed to a guy getting ready for the biggest game of your life?
Yeah, it was a lot less stressful this past week being out there than it was the first time around. And listen, I've never done Radio Row, which is
what we
were doing the last few days. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun. And about every media and news outlet, you know, is set up in there and in the big conference center there in New Orleans. And, you know, you walk around, you do a bunch of interviews and you talk to all kinds of different people. So it's also great because there's so many players, former players, current players that kind of flock to that area. So you get to kind of reconnect with a lot of those guys and all that. But we had a blast and we were out there promoting a company that I'm working with, Todd Heap as well. Todd Heap, friend of the program. I think you guys know him. And Joe Flacco's involved with as well. And it's called
Joe's been
Caddix
on the show too. Yeah.
Yes, he has. That's exactly right. And we're all working with this cleat company, and it's a really cool and innovative technology. And you guys may have seen it on social media. The studs at the bottom of the cleat can flex and move and spin in all these different directions. And it's awesome because it can help prevent some of those non-contact lower extremity injuries. And so, you know, a lot of those are caused from rotational forces. When your cleat gets stuck in the ground and your body goes one way and your foot goes the other, this cleat will release from the ground a little bit easier. So it's been a fun venture being able to work with them, and obviously got us down to the Super Bowl to to talk to a bunch of people. So it was a great week.
That's interesting, not only in football, but perhaps in soccer, especially with turf being used so often. You're seeing some of those injuries. I'm interested in how that might work. Okay, what are the memories from winning the Super Bowl in New Orleans and catching a touchdown pass and the lights go off and all that?
Yeah, well, I had a nice long sit down with Dave this past week, and we got to chat about all that kind of stuff. Me and Austin and Dave and Blaine, which was a lot of fun to kind of recount a lot of those stories and think back to that time. Like I said before, it's such a whirlwind of a week because you get down to New Orleans and you're pulled in a million different directions. You're trying to manage so many different parts. You have your family on one end. You're trying to make sure that they're settled. They have the right tickets and everything to all the different parties and the hotels set up and everything like that. On the other hand, you're trying to manage just the game preparation and going to practice and staying focused from that respect. Obviously, the most important reason why you're down there. And then the media is crazy throughout the course of the week. And every single day you're talking to a number of reporters and media outlets and all that kind of stuff. And I think I told this to Dave, but you get a real sense of how big the Super Bowl is when you get down there that week, because you're used to kind of dealing with your local beat writers and all that kind of stuff in Baltimore. And then you have your national guys, your ESPN or whatever it may be, all sports focused type media outlets. And then you get to the Super Bowl. And I'm up on the podium on a Tuesday on the big media push that week. And I'm talking to the Boy Scouts of America and doing knots.
Were you an Eagle Scout?
I was an Eagle
Scout.
Heck
yeah, dude.
I don't even know what knot they had me tie, but they had me tie some knot up there. And then I'm talking to HGTV, and they're asking me questions. And the Food Network's there asking me questions. And you just get this sense like, wow, this is a lot bigger than, you know, just football right now. And every media outlet from, you know, every different network is here from every different country. Somebody got wind that I served a mission in the Dominican Republic and spoke Spanish. So I did about half my interviews in Spanish with all Mexican radio and TV stations and all that kind of stuff. So,
did you know the words in football? I have no idea in Portuguese.
It's very difficult to talk football, something that you never do on your mission, with all these, you know, Spanish media outlets.
I'd like to bear my testimony that I can catch the ball. Chad Lewis said about, he called a Super Bowl in Mandarin, and he said, I testify that so-and-so scored.
Just scored from the three.
Yeah, you tie a lot of those football principles into gospel principles at the same time, so it was good.
Dennis, you got the touchdown, a one-yard pass, which was big in a three-point game, threw the ball up in the air and went and celebrated with your teammates, and then somebody had to go get the ball back so that you could have it. So it's in your house, right? Is it on the mantle, or where's this winning Super Bowl touchdown catch that you made?
Yeah, I would show it to you. Normally I'm doing these interviews from my office, but I'm in Utah right now. I just flew in from New Orleans last night. I'm staying at a friend's house. Actually, he played at BYU. His name is Austin Colley.
Where else would you be?
Wait, we interviewed Austin when he was at your house. Do you guys just do interviews at the other's house now? Is that a thing?
Austin, why don't you come up? No, Austin's not here. Actually, I think Austin's got a job, so he's working.
Really?
It's a weird concept I don't get.
Crazy. But,
so the ball's in your office?
So the ball's in my office. Okay. And like you said, Dave, most people in that setting have some awareness. Like when I score a touchdown, I'm going to want to keep that ball. And I had zero awareness of that at all. And so when I scored, I threw the ball somewhere I don't even know. And I told this story to Dave and Blaine. And the first thing that happened after I threw that ball and I turn around to celebrate with my teammates is I lock eyes with our center, Matt Burke. And for whatever reason, like, we just had this moment where we knew what was about to go on. And I just start kind of running to him in a real dirty dancing final scene kind of moment. And I just jump up in the air and he kind of elevates me all the way up. And we just had this really nice moment. I think he even did a 360 degree turn and then gently set me back down. And it was just a beautiful, intimate moment between Matt and I.
It's too bad the music wasn't quite right for that.
Yeah, unfortunately. But man, I just had zero awareness about keeping the ball. And so fortunately, there's people a lot smarter and more aware than me. And so one of our equipment guys ran over and made sure they grabbed the ball and brought it and put it in one of the the trunks back there on the sideline, and they mark it up, you know, put a piece of tape and Dennis Pitt's touchdown ball, and then they inscribe it for you and give it to you. So I'm fortunate that they were looking out for me in that moment. But man, I mean, when you're in the moment in those games, I mean, on the biggest stage, you don't realize how big it is. You're just playing football, and I had zero awareness in that moment. And so, you know, looking back now, being able to understand how big that touchdown was, and it's a cool moment for me. And so I'm really grateful.
Dennis, when Brian Keel made that big game-winning catch in the alumni game a couple years ago, did he get the football and everybody?
Yeah. Yeah, so Brian, you know, he dropped the ball too, and I ran up because I knew the mistake that I had made. And I scooped up that ball, and I put a piece of tape on it, and I got it inscripted for him. And I, you know, that was the biggest moment in Brian's life. And I understood that in that moment. I had the awareness to make sure we scooped that ball. Yeah. Now, I didn't do that, but I can guarantee you Brian has that ball on his mantle somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
That was a great moment. Beyonce performed at halftime of your Super Bowl. Did you guys you're trying to focus on what you got to do, blah, blah. Are you hearing it? It's a long halftime. Like, what's it like to be in the locker room in that situation?
Yeah, the Super Bowl's unusual because you're so used to short halftimes in the NFL. You come in, you have 10 minutes. So you go over a couple things with your coaches and you're right back out on the field, which is awesome. And my favorite thing about the NFL, to be completely honest, I hate long halftimes. But in the Super Bowl, it's about triple the length because it goes from 10 minutes to now it's roughly 35 minutes that you're in there at halftime. So it's really unusual. And we were in the locker room. You can hear a lot of noise out on the field, but you can't make out songs or anything like that. And we were kind of almost...
Oh, you single ladies? No.
Yeah, we were kind of wanting to get back out there and watch the performance because you go in and the coaches kind of meet and you know sit down with your position groups and then coaches come over and go over a couple things. But that lasts about the same time that it normally lasts in an NFL game. And so now we're sitting there for like 20, 25 minutes with nothing to do. I remember guys were kind of on their phones just trying to kill time at that point. It was really unusual. And what was even more unusual in that game in particular, and you guys mentioned at the beginning, is obviously the lights going out. Yeah. And so our offense did not finish with the ball in the first half. The 49ers had the ball at the end of the half. We have that long halftime, 35 minutes. We come back out, and we're going to get the ball. They kick off to us, but we return the opening kickoff. Jacoby Jones sets a Super Bowl record and goes 100-something yards for a touchdown, and we go up 28-6. And then the 49ers get the ball back. They start a little bit of a drive. It's third down. The lights go out. So the unusual part about that is by the time our offense got back onto the field, it had been over 2 hours. And somebody did the math. I used to know it 12 years ago. But, you know, not playing football for two straight hours in the biggest game of your life is difficult to manage. And we didn't manage it very well, to be completely honest. And so when the lights came back on and we got back out there, we were not very good offensively. I think we had a fumble. We were just kind of had some miscues. We were not in sync and we sputtered, and the 49ers, to their credit, handled it better than we did. And they put together some drives and scored some points and made the game a whole lot more interesting than it had to be. So I thought it was a good move by Roger Goodell to pull the plug on the lights. I thought it nice. Evened the game out and certainly swung the momentum.
Thank you. That's great insight. Our question of the day is this, Dennis. Are you rooting for Andy Reid, the beloved BYU Cougar and the Chiefs, or the Eagles at the Super Bowl? I think I know what your answer is, but now you're going to give it to Jeremy and Cougar Nation. Do you go with Andy or do you go with the Eagles?
Yeah. So I love Andy Reid. I've loved following him throughout his career. I wish I could have played for Andy at some point when I was in the NFL. I think that would have been awesome. And just to see what he's done, he's a tremendous coach. That being said, I will not be on the Chiefs bandwagon this game. I will be rooting for
my dog.
And here's why.
Okay.
When you get as old as I am, And I'm not that old. I think you're older than me, Jerem. You certainly look older than me.
No, I don't.
Your friends go from being players to now being coaches. I mean, I'm at the stage of my life, like a lot of my friends are now coaches in the NFL.
Right.
And so Kellen Moore is a good friend of mine. He's obviously the OC. Brother Moore is the OC for the Eagles. He was just most recently on the Chargers this last season, a neighbor of ours, a great family friend. As a matter of fact, we were together at the BYU Fathers and Sons camp this past summer.
That's awesome.
And so our kids all kind of align and are great friends. So he's an awesome guy. He has a great family. And I am going to be rooting for Kellen in this one. I would love to see him get his first Super Bowl. And, you know, it sounds like he's going to be the head coach in New Orleans shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to go out of his time in Philly with a championship ring.
And maybe he'll be in the same ward as Taysom. One time in New Orleans, I showed up at a random sacrament meeting, and I saw this 6'3" guy passing out the sacrament. I thought, that guy looks familiar. It was Taysom. It was awesome. Well, Dennis, we appreciate the time.
Cool.
Can't wait to talk to Austin at your house in Southern California the next time we chat with one of the two of you. And did the light almost just go out on the interview?
No,
Roger Goodell.
Somebody tried calling me right now.
Roger Goodell? What in the world?
He's heard enough. Thanks. Roger's heard enough.
Going out.
Thanks for the time, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks to Dennis for joining us. Spencer
champion.
Was gone, so we made time.
Yeah, I'm glad
you thought
did.
It was me. It was actually Spencer.
Dennis should get more time.
Right? I think so. He's
great
awesome.
Stuff.
Great hair.
Volleyball tonight. Speaking of Jerem getting more time, he'll be on the call tonight. Number 6 BYU against 15th-ranked UC Santa Barbara. 9 Eastern on Big Ten Plus. And then you can find it on demand at midnight Eastern on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com. A little different than normal, but you can still watch the game. Same two teams tomorrow, same place, same time.
After the break, women's hoops goes for a third straight win. Softball begins the season with a dub, and men's hoops bench gets recognized. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jerem, he's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
We're still buzzing from that interview with Dennis Pitta. Former Cougar Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs look to win their third straight Super Bowl this Sunday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. No team or head coach has ever won 3 straight Super Bowls. Rookie lineman Kingsley Suamataia would win his first Super Bowl with the Chiefs if they can beat the Eagles.
Men's basketball looks to bounce back on the road tomorrow against Cincinnati. BYU Bearcats beat the Bearcats by 28 in Provo earlier this season. Pregame coverage, 5 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game at 6 Eastern on ESPN2, BYU Radio. And by the way, the Big 12 Conference recognizes BYU's bench as the Big 12 Bench of the Month. I didn't know this was an award.
Did Cannon Catchings win that by himself with his perfect game?
For the month of January. Shout out Foose and Dawson Baker and the boys.
BYU football cornerbacks coach Gennaro Guilford's been promoted to defensive passing game coordinator for BYU football. Guilford's been on staff since 2016. He'll maintain his role with the cornerbacks. He is an outstanding coach, and this is good news for him and for BYU football.
Absolutely. Number 6 men's volleyball hosts number 15 UC Santa Barbara tonight, 9 Eastern on Big Ten Plus today and tomorrow. Game on demand at midnight Eastern both nights on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
Women's basketball going to go for their third straight win tomorrow against Baylor on the road in Waco. Cougars upset the Bears last year in the team's lone meeting, 78-66 here in Provo. You can watch it on ESPN Plus or listen on BYU Radio starting at 8 Eastern. Other women's basketball news, 3-time All-American Tressa Spaulding Hampson's number 54 jersey going to be retired by BYU in a halftime ceremony at the Marriott Center on February 22nd when Arizona State comes to town. Spaulding will be the third BYU women's basketball player to have her jersey up in the rafters, along with number 44 Tina Gunn Robinson and number 22 Jackie Bean McBride.
That's
it's
awesome.
About time.
Congratulations.
That's fantastic.
Her third daughter to play for BYU and had a son play for the men too, currently on the roster.
Yeah.
4 kids.
Thanks, Hampson. We appreciate you.
Women's cross country and track and field head coach Dilji Taylor has signed on as a professional coach to lead Nike's Swoosh TC professional group in Utah. She will continue to coach at BYU while she does this. Did you know she has her own deal with Nike personally? Pretty good.
She's fantastic. Softball season opener. BYU beat UC San Diego 8-0 in the La Jolla Invitational. Lindy Milkowski, a solo shot in the fourth inning. That kind of opened things up. Here it is, deep to center and gone. BYU plays four games this weekend. Close out the tournament with Winthrop. They play Winthrop today at 4:30 Eastern. You can see that on ESPN Plus.
Gymnastics heads to Colorado. Go head-to-head with number 21, Denver Pioneers. I always love a Brigham Young versus Pioneers matchup. BYU looks to build on last week's 195-6 performance.
Are we favored to beat Pioneers? Is that even
How does that work allowed? When it's the leader of the Pioneers?
Men's tennis swept Wagner 7-zip yesterday, first sweep of the season. Villanova today, Lehigh tomorrow. Women's tennis go for their third straight win, hosting Idaho State tomorrow.
And men and women's swim and dive travel to Salt Lake, take on the Utes in the final meet of the regular season. Competition begins today and goes through tomorrow.
Is it a swimming rivalry? Yes, it is.
Absolutely. After the break, Megan Hunter, Riley Chamberlain, Lexi Halliday, Lowry, BYU track and field detail how they were able to each break school records last weekend. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. Well, we like amazing athletes on this program. If they break records, we like that even more. And that's the case with our next interview where Spencer Linton sat down with BYU women's track and field.
We are always pleased to have not one, not two, but three record holders from BYU track and field. And we say record holders because they just did it again. But this trio of Megan Hunter, Riley Chamberlain, and Lexi Halliday Lowry are back in Studio B. Grateful to have you here. How's it going?
Good, yeah.
It should be. Right, that excitement, I feel it. It's good because, as I mentioned, you break more school records. And I want to start this by reading a quote from your fabulous head coach, Diljit Taylor, who said, quote, "There's still stuff to work on, and it's still so early in the season. I'm trying not to get too excited, but it's so hard for me when we have a day like this, a day where all of you break records." So, Lexi, we'll start this with you. Hey, how were you able to put together such a magical performance, not just individually, but as an entire team in Boston?
I think as a team, we found a way to get confidence from each other's performances. Like, so I raced last this past weekend. We all raced on the same day, but my race was last. So I watched Megan run first, and she got it. And going into this weekend, the goal was to break. We knew we had the opportunity to break through the school records. And so I watched Megan do it, and I was like, okay, check, one done. And then watching Riley in the race, and then she got it down. I was like, okay, check. I was like, frick.
Now it's on me.
I'm the last check. Like, I have to do it. But, like, watching them do it gave me so much confidence because, I mean, we're all in the same training boat. We have the same coach. And stepping up to the line, I had a lot of confidence, not for myself, but necessarily. Like, obviously I do, but, like, watching my teammates perform at such a high level, it gives me the confidence to do it as well. And so, yeah, just magic and numbers. And even if we're not in the same race, like, it still shows.
I love that, magic and numbers. And you've given us a great brief overview, so let's get into some of the specifics. You run the 5,000 meters. Riley, you ran the mile and broke a school record. And Megan, you ran the 800 meters in 2 minutes and 21 hundredths of a second. So, Riley, we'll go to you next. Okay, I love the order of this, okay? So Lexi took care of the pressure pack moment that she had at the very end of this, okay? But when you see Megan do her thing, how does that motivate you?
Kind of like what Lexi said, just like knowing, okay, like Megan put it together, coach is training all of us, like she knows what she's doing with each one of us, like Megan did it, I can do it. Like, yeah, it just, she set the tone. She even texted me, she was like, we heated up the track for you. So it was just great to get that forward momentum going with Megan. And then I wanted to keep it rolling, set it for Lex, and yeah.
I mean, you're crushing these records though. So this is a 4-second PR, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You broke the school record by 3 seconds. So what does it mean to you to do it in such dominant fashion?
Yeah, to do it in such, like Whitney had the record before me and she ran the 5K this weekend, and just like watching her do all the amazing things that she's still doing in the sport, I just like, I don't know, it meant a lot to be able to be there the same weekend as her and set the bar even higher for the next people that come through the program.
Yeah, good luck to those people.
Yeah.
Because these are crazy numbers, okay? And speaking of Megan, in the 800 meters, I mentioned the 2 minutes and 21 hundredths, lifetime best, NCAA leading time. When did you know wow, I just ran a really fast race.
I felt really strong and confident the whole race. And so the whole time I felt like, okay, just keep it together, keep it smooth, and it's going to be good. And it's fun. The Boston track coach is always there at the finish line. And so you always get to see her reaction as soon as you cross the line. And yeah, she was celebrating. I was excited. So yeah, it's always so fun to celebrate with coach after the race. And yeah, good day.
Fourth school record for you. I have to ask, is the next goal to break 2 minutes?
We'd love to get that done. Yeah. I like coach's quote that you shared at the beginning about how, like, we're excited, but also it's early, gotta stay relaxed. My two words that I've kind of kept in my head for this season are to stay humble and be excited. And so, yeah, I'm excited that I ran this 2 flat, but also, you know, staying humble, knowing there's still a lot of work to do. And yeah, excited to just kind of keep chopping away at the time.
Okay, we're pushing for 159.59, right? Or 159.99, whatever you want to call it, okay?
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yes. Okay, Lexi, back to you. We talked about Riley crushing the record. Okay, just again, if I have any that's wrong, let me know. You beat the record by 18 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a longer race. So in those moments, do you feel I'm running really fast right now? Or is it all a shock when you get to the finish line?
No, okay, so to prep for these races, they are so long. So I have to do a lot of visualization. And so with that, I like visualize not only the race, but I visualize the time and the splits and like the times I want to see at certain points in the race. And it was so cool during the race, I would go through 1K, 2K, 3K, 4K, and at each one of the Ks, it was exactly the time that I'd been visualizing for. And so even I went through 4K and I was like, oh, this is exactly what I thought I would be. And going into the race, we knew I could run low 15s. So like that wasn't quite a surprise. It was just a matter of like if I could go sub 15, which it's really hard to do. And so, but that was my goal. And so like I knew all of the splits, and with 1K to go, we were a few seconds off of being able to like go sub. And so I was like, okay, if I want it, like we have to go now. And so being able to tie together a good last 1K, I was surprised at the 57 because I wanted to go sub 15. But to be able to go like 3 seconds under for the first time, because I ran 15:02 last year. So like we knew it was there, but the training had been a little different this year. And so to be able to do it, and on the same day that, like, obviously my other teammates had shown up as well, and even, like, the pros, all of them were in that race, and, like, Courtney, she was the record holder previously, and, like, she was in that race as well, and so to be able to celebrate with everyone that accomplishment and just be like, okay, like, that set the tone for the rest of the season as well. Like, it's so early. It was our opening race.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm just excited to see what we can do from here on
out. That's surreal because, I mean, those are big names. You're bringing up Whitney Horton and Courtney Wayman. You're like, hey, guys, I'm the best. And just saying, I'm the best now.
Time and place.
Yes. Oh, situational awareness, right? Yeah, you got to be aware. But, I mean, I say that in jest. But as you look at that time, okay, 14:57, let's just put this in perspective. It's 3.1 miles, correct?
Yes.
I'm feeling happy if I run 2 miles in under 15 minutes, like, okay, in my old man body. It's okay. You ran 3.1 in under 15, so what is next for you there?
We knew that this would be like the time to run fast, a set up fast 5K time.
Okay.
And next week we're going to Washington, and actually me and Riley will be in the 3K, and we'll go work on, at least for me, I'll work on some speed, and Riley will work on a little strength. And yeah, and then at NCAAs, I'm hoping to do the 5K and 3K, and there's no control over time. So I'm just working from here on out, just working on competing and just focusing on closing races. So, I mean, hopefully we run fast at NCAAs in the 5K, but, like, that's never guaranteed at those championship-style races.
Clearly, stay humble and be excited is a theme for all of us.
Yes.
Riley, this is your second school record. What did it mean to get another one and now have 2?
Is it my set? It's my first.
Yeah. Wait, I thought you were DMR.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
I know you're tired, Riley.
I'm sorry.
I know you're very tired.
I think of that one as a team one.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so now to have an individual one then.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean to you?
It's so special. I mean, just like constantly pushing the barriers, seeing how fast we can get it. Like, I think like the other day I like looked at our mile top 10, and because we have the record board in the SFH, and like we have so many milers that are like 4:32 I think and faster. Like, that's just insane. So I don't know, just to continue to build and like show people that it's possible, like Whitney showing us what's possible in the mile, running 4:29 when she was here. Like, I don't know, I'm excited to be a part of that.
Smile, say it all. Yeah. Big 12 indoor championships ended this month, and then the NCAA championships on March 14th. We're referencing big races you're getting ready for. So, Megan, what do you do in the next few weeks to prepare for those events and get right mentally and physically?
Yeah, be excited, but stay humble. We still have a lot of work to do. And
Going to New York this weekend.
Yeah, I get to go to New York, race a 400, which I'm so excited about. But just keep training. I mean, what we've been doing is working, so just kind of keep using those positive things that we did for this race, kind of translate it into these big meets coming up.
Okay, same question for the two of you, but I'm going to modify it a little bit. What do you eat to be in pristine condition? Because I need this, okay? I need to feel like you all do after you run crazy races. Because my body does not respond the way your body's response.
Purple juice.
Purple juice.
No. She's talking about wheat. It's just our pre-practice drink we drink.
Yeah. It's like our caffeine and
it's
whatever.
Just caffeine and beets.
Maybe I don't want this.
This is not
good. Protein, vegetables, carbs, the basics.
I feel like I want to say it's not what you typically think we would eat, but it's probably what you think we would eat. It's very different depending on who you talk to, but just try not to overthink it. Get in the good things and trying to just fuel your body with what's going to benefit you.
Yes, like, premium fuel.
Yeah, actually, like you want to give your body the building blocks to capitalize from your workouts, so you just give it what it needs to perform at a high level.
Okay. It's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
I can relate to that. I'm adding beet juice and caffeine to daily schedule now. Hey, congratulations to all of you on your successes in Boston. That's amazing. I mean, amazing. Yes, I'm going to clap alone. Amazing for all three of you to break the school records in that format and have that goal and then watch it come to fruition. There's a reason you're here, because you're awesome and you represent the university at such a high level. Stay humble, be excited. I'll take that motto as well. And good luck moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Stay thirsty, but not for beet juice. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Andy Reid and the Chiefs or the Eagles? Plus, a rising shout out to an elite football player leaving on his mission. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day is this: are you rooting for Andy Reid and the Chiefs, Kingsley Suamantia there too, or the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Debbie Arnold on Instagram: I'm a Raiders fan since 63, but Andy reps the Y so well. That's it. Go Chiefs.
Okay,
little AFC
that,
West
Debbie.
Love.
Yeah, nice
at,
job.
Johnny Linehan, Jay Linehan 9, Johnny Linehan on X. I'm rooting for Elder Covey and the Eagles. Britton Covey, one of the most likable youths of all time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Should have been a Cougar.
We're still not.
That's likable youth.
Our lead voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, A Beach 319 on X. I have to root for the coach who has the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the Pro Great Price as their favorite book trilogy. That was a great answer earlier this week.
You can't phase Andy Reid. What's your favorite trilogy? Just how you wished you would be able to answer it.
Yes, very witty.
That got some play on social media.
Right?
Well done.
That's awesome. Today's Rise of Shadow is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Look at this picture. Reiner Swanson entered the MTC this week for his mission to Kenya, Africa. After a short time in Milwaukee at 6'4", 244, he'll be a sight for all to see in Kenya. We wish him the very best, and we'll see him back here in a couple of years.
How many guys as good as him at their sport say, yep, I'm going to step away for 2 years, and this is going to be in Africa?
He's a great example to so many. And what an adventure ahead for him.
Shout out to my cousin Lane, who also left on his mission this week. Good luck in Mexico, my man. Okay, we're excited for the weekend, man. We got the Super Bowl. We got BYU Cincinnati. We got women's hoops. We got softball playing now. We got all kinds of things. Our thanks to today's guests, Dennis Pitta. We made time for him. Megan Hunter, Riley Chamberlain, Lexi Halliday-Lowry.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand at BYUSN.com. If you want to see that Dennis interview again, it'll be there for you. It's worth it.
Absolutely. For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Russ Lavaya. We'll see you tonight for men's volleyball, top 15 matchup in the Smith Fieldhouse. Go Cougs!